Have your Bibles. We're going to be looking tonight in Romans chapter 12. Epistle to the Romans chapter 12. When we're eating supper tonight, I told Kaylee and Kelby to listen close and have something handy to take notes with. Listen very carefully because I'm going to be preaching on exactly what they are looking for. And so, we preach tonight on true love. True love. So, y'all be sure you listen. So, no, I do want to give you a thought here out of a verse. We have a good time. We go out and tag doors and eat supper together and always good fellowship. But I do want to give you a thought out of a verse here. I'm just going to read one verse out of Romans chapter 12. And if you'll look with me in verse number 9, just a simple little verse, and I really have got, a simple little thought out of this verse, just really, honestly, just really straightforward, very practical, but I do believe it's what the Lord has put on our heart tonight. But he said in verse 9, Romans 12, verse 9, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." So let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. What we have here, without going into all the details of the whole context of the whole chapter and the whole book and all those things, but without going into all of that, if what we have in verse 9, really all the way down to really the end of the chapter, as he's kind of closing out this chapter, we have a list of commands for true Christians and for true Christianity. And verse 9, our verse tonight, starts this list. But, you know, if you kind of read down through here, verse 10, he says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." Then he says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." And so on and on and on. It's just kind of one command after another. And what he's kind of giving is this picture with these commands that he's giving. He's giving this picture of what true Christianity really looks like. What it looks like when somebody is sold out to God and is living to God. These are all the things that you need to be doing, that you'll do in your life. And if you'll look on in verse 9, if you've got a Bible that has these, probably right around the number 9 where the verse is signified, there's a little symbol there. It's a paragraph symbol. That's letting us know that he's starting a new paragraph in the letter. And so really that's what the last part of this chapter is it's its own kind of paragraph, and he's just kind of given these thoughts one after another on what true Christianity really looks like. And in verse 9, our verse, he describes with that short little statement, he describes the character of true love, Kaylee. This is what true love is. This is what you're looking for. It's right here. It's true love. It's what every young single person's looking for, seems like. What some married people are still looking for, too, unfortunately. But everyone's looking for true love. Well, the Bible gives us what true love looks like, and this is all the marks of true Christianity, and so this is really what the character of true love. And the very first phrase in the verse, he says, "Let love be without dissimulation." Now, that word dissimulation, that's a really big word to basically just mean hypocrisy. It's basically what he's talking about. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be without dissimulation. And so really what the exhortation here is in this verse, he is exhorting God's people to have a love that is not hypocritical. It's not fake and it's not phony. He's exhorting God's people, as he's writing to those Roman Christians, he's exhorting them to have a love that is genuine, that's real. And you know, there's a lot of things that all of us can't be. There's things I can't be. There's things that you can't be. There's things that you can do that I can't do, and things I can do that you can't do. And so there's things that some of us can do and be that others can do and be. And so all of us, so there's things we can't be, but the thing that we all can be is real. We can all be real. We can at least be real. Amen? And I want you to know that I personally strive to be real. I want to be real. If there's anything my children would grow up and say about their dad, it could at least be that he was real. He was real. I mean, what you see is what you get. He wasn't one thing in the pulpit and another thing at home. He wasn't Dr. Jekyll at church and Mr. Hyde when the doors were closed. It wasn't one thing here and another thing there. You know, he didn't put on his camp meeting face when he went to the meetings and then was a totally different man when we got to the hotel room. Hey, that's a very real thing. There are people that are that way. And so, you know, I may not be the most spiritual man that any of us ever know. I'll be far from it, no doubt about that. But I want to at least be real. Amen. We ought to all strive to be real. We ought to all strive to be genuine. And the love that we have for the Lord ought to especially be genuine. Now, this is really important because there is a lot of hypocritical love. And I think probably if all of us would be honest, I mean, if we'd just be real honest with ourselves, I'm not asking for a show of hands, I'm not asking for anybody to stand up and make any type of confession or anything like that, but I'm just saying if you and I, if we would all just look inward and just be real honest with ourselves and honest with God, which He already knows, we'd be honest about it, we probably all have at least some hypocrisy in our love for God. Somewhere down in there. Somewhere. And that's why this is so important. And if the Apostle Paul didn't command it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to this church, then, I mean, why would he waste his breath if this wasn't a real thing? Obviously, this is something that the church deals with, something that God's people deal with. It's not always the church down the road, you know. Everything the Bible talks about that's negative and everything the Bible commands us to do and not do, it's not always everybody else. It's us. It's us. It's right here. He's talking to us. This letter's addressed tonight. It's addressed to us. It's not addressed to the church in Rome. It's addressed to us tonight. And he says, let love be without dissimulation. Be real. Be genuine in your love. Don't be one thing at church and another thing at home. Don't be one thing with one group of people and be something different with a different group of people. Don't be one way here and a different way there. Listen, just be real. Just be genuine. Just let your love be without hypocrisy. You know, with thinking about hypocritical love, you know, a lot of people, they'll talk about love. And that is the big talk of our day. It's all about love, you know. The crowd that was against, you know, the Donald Trump and all was all love trumps hate, you know. You know. And most of the talk of love comes from the liberal side anyways. Comes from the most godless side anyways. But even among churches, church people, a lot of people, they'll talk about love, wear t-shirts about love, sing about love, all these things, and think that's real love. When the truth is, they may talk about those things and do all those things, but they really don't have real love in their heart. Simply, a lot of times the people that talk about love the most are the ones that have the least amount of it in their heart. I'm talking about real love, true love. Now this verse here, it exposes that kind of love as being hypocritical. The type of love that talks one way but then acts another. The type of love that draws nigh to the Lord with its lips but its heart is far from Him. It exposes all that as hypocrisy. And I think if we'll just be real honest, I mean, truth is, we probably all have some of that in us if we're not careful. Now, there's two qualifying factors in this verse, and they're very plain, easy, and clear to see. But they're the two qualifying factors for love to not be hypocritical. So you say, Brother Jacob, I don't want to be a hypocrite in my love for the Lord. I want to be real. I want to be genuine. And I want my love for the Lord and my love for my fellow brethren. I want the love that's in my heart. I want it to be real. I want it to be without dissimulation. I don't want to be hypocrite. I don't want to be fake. I want to be real. Well, there's two qualifiers here. And if you will run your love through this litmus test and see where it stands, then you'll know if your love is hypocritical or if it's real. And they're both right here. The first one, I'm going to give them to you. The first one, the first qualifying factor for love to not be hypocritical is abhorrence of evil. That's what he said. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. So the first qualifier is abhorrence of evil. If the love you have does not abhor evil, it's not real love. It's not true love. The word abhor here means to hate. And it's actually, abhor is actually kind of a little bit even stronger word than hate, actually. The word abhor, I mean, it means to hate, but it's a very strong word, and it denotes a strong attitude. And so when you abhor evil, you have a strong attitude, a strong hatred towards evil. Now, many would be surprised about this aspect of love because they think if you love, then you can't hate. That's the idea, it seems like. People think, you know, if you've got love in your heart, then you can't have any hate. And if there's hate in your heart, then you have no love. Well, the truth is that the only way true love can dwell in the heart of someone is if hate dwells there with it. You've got to love the right things and hate the right things. And you've got to hate the right things to be able to love the right things. Amen. But the idea is that, you know, they both can't be present. Well, they both have to be present in a lot of ways. A lot of people don't believe you can do both. Think that love and hate cannot dwell in the same person when that nothing could really be farther from the truth. It's true now that you can't love and hate the same thing simultaneously. You can't love and hate the same person simultaneously. Now, we all have those people in our lives or those things in our lives, and we call it a love-hate relationship because sometimes you love them, sometimes you hate them. This dog we've got is that way. It's mostly a hate relationship, though. I rarely love the dog, but, you know, it's what we would call a love-hate relationship. But the truth is you really can't love and hate the same thing at the same time. That is true. But true love will hate evil. True love will. To love truth is to hate falsehood. To love virtue is to hate immorality. You can't love them both. You can't have a mediocre opinion or a lukewarm opinion of both. You either love the one or hate the other, you know, despise the one. And I mean, it's just what Jesus said about God and mammon, isn't it? It's the same way. You love virtue, you hate immorality. And so the question, if your love, is your love hypocritical or not? Is your love got dissimulation with it? Well, do you hate, do you abhor evil? The psalmist said, Psalm 97, verse 10, he said, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." Pretty plain, ain't it? Didn't take a Strong's Concordance to figure that one out. If you love the Lord, you hate evil. And that stands to reason. And if you don't hate evil, you don't really love the Lord. You can say whatever you want to. We can do whatever we want to. We can pass out as many tracts as we want to. And we can fix our hair a certain way and dress a certain way and be at church every time the door's open. But if we don't really hate evil, really hate it, and the Bible just says we don't really love the Lord. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. That's why I got a problem with these people that they say they're saved. They say they love the Lord, but they're always mingling and meddling in evil. I know we've got this flesh, and I know this, that, you know, we battle with this flesh, and this flesh desires the things of this world and lusts after the things of this world. I understand all that, and I understand a man will fall at times, and we all fall. I mean, has any of us gone a day without sinning yet? I don't think I have. And so that does happen. But these folks that are always gravitating towards the evil of this world and the things that are evil. And it's not just like little things that their flesh craves. I mean, it's like real evil stuff. And they're just always, and it's just a lifestyle. It's a habitual lifestyle. It's all the time. Well, I mean, all I can say is what the Bible says. Psalm 119 and verse 104. You know Psalm 119 to be the longest chapter in the Bible. It's also the Word of God chapter in the Bible. And verse 104 of Psalm 119, he said, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." I hate every false way. He said, by your precepts, so by your word, what you've written in your word and in your scriptures, that's how I get understanding, the psalmist said. And he said, because of that, I hate every false way. Amen. That's why I hate every modern perverted version of scripture. I hate it. I do. I'm not going to buddy up with it, and I'm not going to study out of them, and I'm not going to get close with them and make friends with guys that read out of them. And make friends with guys that preach out of them. I hate every false way. I hate that stuff. That stuff is taking folks to hell in droves. And if we love God, we hate that stuff. Isn't that right? He said, I hate every false way. When a preacher takes a strong stand against sin, you know, sometimes many folks will criticize. I know we don't have this problem around here, but that's one of the main things, one of the main criticisms that you will hear of a man of God, of a preacher that takes a strong stand against sin. I'm not talking about being hateful and mean-spirited. I'm talking about just taking a stand against sin. One of the main criticisms you will hear is that he lacks love. He lacks compassion. I've heard it all my life. He needs more compassion. He lacks love. Well, the truth is, they're wrong. He doesn't lack love. Just because a man takes a strong stand against sin and against evil, it doesn't mean he lacks love. It means that he loves good and he hates evil. He loves good and he hates sin. In fact, the ones that would accuse a man of that, they're the ones that lack love. They're the ones that lack compassion. They lack love for that which is good, or they would hate evil. The fact that somebody would not stand with a man or anyone that's standing against sin, someone that wouldn't stand with somebody like that really doesn't love good and love the Lord as much as it may seem they do on the outside. Amen. The truth is, you really find out who people truly are. You find out what's really in people's heart. You find out what their love is really made of when you draw a line in the sand and it's time to take a stand and you see what line they wind up on. When the pressure's on and everybody's looking and there's pressure and all that, you find out what side of that line they stand on, you'll find out where their love really is. What their love is really made of. And a lot of times, it's got dissimulation. It's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. And so, the first qualifying factor for love to not be hypocritical is abhorrence of evil. The second one is affection for good. It's just the other side of the same coin. Now, you got the positive post and the negative post. We've had the negative one, then you have the positive. But you can't have the positive without the negative. So he says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. But then he turns right around and he says, cleave to that which is good. That word cleave, it literally means for something to be glued. Means something, means like an adhesive, bonding something together. And it bonds, Brother Ernest mentioned something tightly bonded. It bonds them so tightly that, and it's glued so tightly that separating those objects would actually damage both of the objects. They're so bonded, they're so sealed that you can't separate them without damaging both of them. And so, that's what the word means, and it lets us know that if we love the Lord, if you love the Lord, you'll be glued to Him. If your love is true, if your love is right, if your love is not hypocritical, you will be glued to the Lord. You will cleave to the Lord. You will be adhesed to the Lord in faithful fellowship and in serving Him. I have a hard time believing that people's love for the Lord is real and is true if they're not at least faithful. The glue didn't set up right. Something's wrong with the glue. Something's wrong with the seal there. Something's wrong. It didn't cure right or something. I mean, you know, something's just wrong. I mean, people talk about how much they love the Lord. And I've seen this a lot lately. This has been more lately than probably any other time that I can remember. But people, whether it's guys in the jail or people here or, out, you know, here, there, and yonder, people that will make it seem like they are going to set the woods on fire for the glory of God. I mean, they will just talk like they're ready to get in and get faithful and get fired up, and they seem so fired up. And you think, and I mean, they get you thinking, man, they got it, man. They're going to stick with it, and then you never see them again. Well, even I've had that happen more times here lately than any other time, it seems like, in the rest of my life and ministry combined. You know what the problem is? There really is just something wrong with that love. It's got dissimulation in it. It's hypocritical. It's all on the outside, but there's nothing true on the inside. Because a true love will not only abhor that which is evil, but it will cleave to that which is good. See, if you love your wife or your husband, you'll be glued to them, won't you? You'll cleave to them. You won't be running around with someone else. You won't be running around someplace else. Amen. We run around with other people and other things, doing other things all the time. Listen, a man doesn't have to be running around with other women to show that his love isn't exactly right for his wife. All he has to do is just not go home enough. All he has to do is just hang out with the guys too much, spend too much time working, spend too much time away. And the same goes for a wife too. You don't necessarily have to be running around with somebody else to show that your love is exactly right, because when your love is right, you are glued to that person. They'll have your affection and your loyalty, and you'll have their affection and their loyalty. Amen. When your love's right. See, if you love truth, you'll be glued to your Bible in study and devotion to it. If you love truth. I wondered really how much the people that say they love truth, I wonder how much they really love truth when they're not reading their Bible, but they're watching Fox News all the time. I mean, how much they really love truth? The proof is in the pudding. Is it true love or is it hypocrisy? I wonder how much people really love truth when they won't read their Bible and study their Bible, but they're doing other things all the time. Because if we love truth, we'll be glued to what is truth. If we love holiness, we'll be glued to the things, to the places, and to the people that are holy. We really love holiness, right? Not the hell holes of the world, but places like church. Places where the people of God are. Places where worship's going on. Places that are holy, if you love holiness. See, true love is loyal love. It's attached firmly to that which is good, that which is holy, that which is pure. True love is. And it's without dissimulation. It's not fake and it's not phony. It doesn't show up to church looking and acting one certain way and then out acting, looking a different way when it's out there. And it involves loving that which is good, cleaving, being glued to that which is good, and abhorring that which is evil. And it's really simple. That is the simple litmus test for all of us. if there's any hypocrisy. Now, if the Holy Spirit points out an area of your life or puts His finger on the sore spot in your soul, that doesn't mean you're just like a flat-out hypocrite. Like you're just this big hypocrite. But it does mean there is some hypocrisy there. It means that we need to deal with that thing. Be honest about it and talk to God about it and get right with God about it and do what we need to do to make sure we're right with God so that our love is without dissimulation. So really what this verse is, like many other verses, like many other scriptures, this verse is a ruler, is a measuring stick where we can set it up next to our love we say that we have, and we can check the condition of our love by measuring it by the ruler of this verse. And it's really simple. I know this is not very deep stuff. I mean, I understand that. But it's just plain. Let love we be without dissimulation. All right, so I don't want hypocrisy in my love. So he says, abhor that which is evil. All right, do I really abhor that which is evil? Do I really hate that which is evil? But then he says, cleave to that which is good. Do I really cleave to that which is good? And that's the way we check our love. If it's true love, we'll abhor that which is evil and we'll cleave to that which is good. Lord, help us. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight. I pray that you'll help us all, Lord, to have a true love, Lord, a sincere love for you. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, as we measure up, Lord, our love against your word, I pray, Lord, that as you point out the places in our hearts and the places in our life, Lord, where our love just isn't exactly what it should be. Our affections for you just aren't exactly what they should be. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be honest with you, honest with ourselves. And Lord, we'll get thoroughly right with you. And Lord, we'll strive, Lord, to have a love that is without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Lord, we want to be real. Lord, if there's anything said about us as your people or about our church, Lord, would to God it be that we're just real. Lord, we're just who we are. And Lord, we're not fakes, not phonies. We're not putting on. Lord, when we're in church and something different when we're away from church, Lord, may it just be that we're just real. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Pray that you'd bless us tonight. Lord, you'd use us in our life. Help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.